Well, brethren, we've had a feast of fat things at the convention, the fellowship, the lessons that we've learned from the Lord's Word will be a part of our book of memories to linger on of how the Lord has blessed us till this time. And now we have our dessert, the last service of the convention. We're looking forward to another blessing from our brother Edgar, who has been such a blessing to us many times in the past. And I want to be sure I give the emphasis like Edgar wanted me to. His subject is, finally, my brethren. Is that fairly close, Edgar? Finally, my brethren. Brother Edgar.
Thank you, George. That's fairly close. Finally, my brethren, the beloved friends in Chicago prepared a convention. They spent many hours preparing, sent out the invitations to their speakers, sent out the programs, invited all to attend. The brethren who have come have been richly blessed. We look back in retrospect. Saturday, on Sunday, and today, and the word's been spoken, the spiritual food that's been given has been most precious. We have indeed much to be thankful for. It is an amazing thing that I've been in the truth for 38 years. And when I came in 1951, I made a consecration in around September of 51, although I was not baptized until 53. And at that time, I had the feeling, and I believe scripturally supported, that all would be over in 1954. And I studied prophecy. I looked into these things, and I was overjoyed at what I found. 1954, it's all over. I was in Chicago at a convention there, right down here at the old Central Masonic Temple. It was about 1953, I believe. And if any of you, how many have been at the old Masonic Temple? How many? There's a lot of brethren still with us that was at the Masonic Temple. And they had the convention on the third floor, and we had these winding stairs. And I was bubbling with this that I'd discovered, had the matter of Noah and the 120 years and so on. I had it all in my mind, and I couldn't help but tell somebody. And as I was walking up the flight of stairs, Brother George Wilson was coming down. I don't know how many of you remember Brother Wilson, beloved. Oh, we got one hand up there. You remember George of Frank and Ernest, beloved George. Now, if you knew George and you knew the kind of a brother he was, that he's straight and to the point. And I stopped him to tell him all about this. And he stood very quietly and listened with patience. And when I finished, he shook his head like this. And he said, "We'll see." That was prophetic, brethren. We'll see. We stand before you now, 1990, and we will see. In that amount of time, the kingdom is yet not completely arrived in the way that we are looking for it to, the time of trouble that really come upon us to the point that we've been discussing in the convention here. That hasn't happened yet. We feel it'll be soon. When we say soon, we can't say next month, next year, 5 years from now, 10. We don't know, but soon. I have noticed in my years in following after the Lord, there are younger brethren who have come into the truth in the last 20 years or less. Young brethren who weren't even born when I made my consecration. These young brethren have gained a knowledge of the truth that you can hardly believe. And not only do they have the truth, not only is the truth in them, but it is in them to a point where they have the ability to explain Scripture and bring it out in a way that is beautiful and can be understood. And I think this is precious. And we have indeed with us some of those young brethren who spoke from the platform these past 3 days. They brought out to us such things as the true meaning of Revelations, what the Beatitudes are all about, what it really means to try to live as Christ lived. It's been precious. We look back and we consider, started out the convention. Our God, the great, our God whom we worship, the great God of the universe. Consider some of the things that was brought forth. Beautiful. And we went on, and we had one discourse after another, taking various portions of the truth. So all together, we had a broad consideration of God's truth, of doctrine, of character development, of devotion. It's all there, brethren. And it's beautiful. And we like to consider, indeed, those things that are brought forth of the matter of just what is going to happen today and in the near future, and how that there are prophecies that we can see they are coming to pass. And it's happening before our eyes, and we almost get to a point that we can see by sight. Ha! No faith needed. But again, we look back, and we find that sometimes what we think, this is the way it is. Indeed, it's going to be another way. But still with it all, we have that divine plan of the ages before us. That which has been opened up to us by that servant. And looking at those things which we have been taught, we still see, even though there may be a zig here or a zag there, a little different than what we had first supposed, still the end result will be that which we first accepted as truth. So we've been richly blessed and rejoice in it. And we look at these things. We consider. We heard about how it is that we can miss the mark. We considered a matter of the city of refuge. We considered many things that are that which we want to know about. The book of Mark. The book of Matthews. And bringing out things we never even thought possible that are in those two Gospels. We have all of those, brethren, fed to us at this convention. Finally, my brethren, rejoice. So turn with me to the third chapter of Philippians. I'd like to begin with the first verse. It's almost over. We'll very soon be heading our various ways. But we have much to take with us. We have much to rejoice with. And so it is that the Apostle Paul, in Philippians, the third chapter, in the first verse, he's telling us what we can do now in all this that we have received. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The word rejoice means to be cheerful. This is brought out in Strong's Concordance. And also calmly happy. Calmly happy? You have a joy, and sometimes you want to show it. But sometimes you can rejoice on the inside when you're hurting on the outside. And there have been brethren here who haven't felt all that well outside. The old body is afflicted. But these brethren are all rejoicing in the inside, even as we, with that, those things we have heard. But not only that, but we also have had the opportunity to see some brethren we hadn't seen for a long time. We've had some opportunity to see some of the brethren we haven't been able to fellowship with for quite a while. We've had an opportunity to fellowship with some of the brethren who we especially wanted to, knowing of some of the things that have happened to them recently. Just to be able to hold up the hand, just to be able to let them know, I'm walking with you, and we're walking together, and we're concerned about one another. The love that is truly shown in the concern for one another. This is all a part of that which we have, whereby we rejoice, even though the convention is almost over. So our beloved apostle, in giving us some instructions now that we part, in saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He said to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. A letter to the Philippians. And he gives some instructions. And we consider this now as we leave the convention. Instructions given to the Philippians. He said to rejoice, but then he said, beware. He said, beware of dogs. You walk down the street and a sign is there, or you go to a house and there's a sign that says, beware of dogs. That's exactly what it means. For the most part, we love dogs, but there are some dogs that they don't want to be loved, and the result can be injurious, to say the least. Well, the Apostle Paul is telling us, figuratively speaking, beware of those who would injure you. Now, a dog is not going to eat you. But a dog can do a lot of damage. And he's saying, beware of those who would injure. And there are those out there who would do that. And it may indeed happen while you are putting forth the truth. He says, beware, not because you want to stay away, because you know that's going to happen, but rather, know what to expect. He said, we beware of evil workers, of those who do contrary to the truth, of those who work evil in any way, whatever it is. And to our day-to-day contact, we would know who it would be and when it would be when it happened. We could identify such. He said, beware of such things. He said, beware of the concision. And this is a matter of that which is the opposite. That which can cause trouble. For he said, we are the circumcision which worship God, that is, have been separated in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And this is that which we bear in mind as we leave here. And what we remembered, which we knew when we came, so it is when we leave, no confidence in the flesh. But rejoicing, yet being aware of the fact that we will have problems as we go forth from here that we must expect and beware of, be ready for. Third verse. First three verses. Okay, let us now turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord . We have received enough spiritual food that it would help us indeed to be strong in the Lord as we go forth. If we've taken notes, if we have down some of these things that we can go over, or if we have tapes, we can take those with us and further help in being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He continues, put on the whole armor of God. Well, we've been at that quite a while now. We'd like to think we have the whole armor of God on. But whether we do or whether we do not, we will find out as we journey forth. We will find out because we know we'll be tested. We know it'll be so. If it's no more than the circumstances whereby, that we'll find out whether we're still following after the Lord and whether we're still strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So if indeed we have the whole armor of God on, which He will proceed to describe to us as we're all well aware of the words that are here, I want to bear in mind that armor is all in the front and the back is exposed. So it is that we must beware of the wiles of the devil. And oftentimes, we're not aware of the fact that it is the wiles of the devil. They're giving us some of the problems and the troubles that we have. So therefore, we're warned to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Else otherwise, we're not going to be able to withstand. Twelfth verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And as Brother Russell points out, not merely against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now here again we have a matter of faith. Because we cannot see God, we cannot see Christ, we see not those who have gone beyond, neither can we see the powers of darkness in spiritual places. We cannot see the enemies of righteousness that are in a spiritual realm unseen by us. And this is what our Apostle Paul is warning us of. Another thing to bear in mind as we go forth further into battle and soldier to the cross. And just by way of reminder, we leave, as far as the armor is concerned, he states, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." And believe me, brethren, we all agreed we are in that evil day. And having done all to stand. You've done all you can. Therefore, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if you have the armor on, you have very little to fear, as long as you're facing the foe. And when the Apostle says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might," it is because he expects you to face the foe. Because again, as we pointed out, the back is exposed. There's nothing covering the back. And if you turn from the battle, then look out. So the warning, finally, my beloved, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. We trust we've had it on now for some time. Our next instruction as we leave, found in Philippians, the 4th chapter, and the 8th verse. Very familiar to us all, but it is a good one to leave with us as we go forth to remember and think about. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, consider. We've been in convention for 3 days. We have heard a number of discourses, admonitions, exhortations, comfort from the platform. Now, think on these things. Whatever things are true. We've heard the truth is brought forth by the various brethren. Think about those things. Whatsoever things that are honest, of what the Scriptures bring forth, that we might act honestly. Whatsoever things are just, that brought from the platform of the matter of the Beatitudes. Whatsoever things are pure, and here again, especially from the Beatitudes. Whatsoever things are lovely, and we consider back, considering our God whom we worship. Whatsoever things are of good report, because here again, it's the Word of God. If there be any virtue, of course, there be any praise. The praise is to God our Father. But then the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, continues by saying, "These things which ye have learned." Now, he's writing to them. "And received and heard and seen in me, do." Now, here, having attended convention and considering these things which we have learned here and received from the brethren and heard, that do. To try to go forth and put it into practice. And he ends by saying, and the God of peace shall be with you if you do. Next scripture, 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, 1st verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, pray for us. We ask, each and every one of us, that we pray for one another when we go forth, remembering the dear friends that we have talked with, rejoiced with. Pray for them. It's often good to mention specific brethren in prayer. I try to do that every day. I have brethren that I know very well, better than I do other brethren, to a point where I'm closer to them and they mean a great deal to me. And I have special prayers for them. Mentioned daily. And certainly, brother, being aware of certain brethren who specially need it, to pray for them. And so, as we have before us here, instructions as we go forth. Finally, brethren, pray for us. And when we state us, we're stating those who especially need the prayer that we're aware of. Praying for one another. Pray for us, the Apostle Paul is telling the Philippians, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. He was asking for a special prayer as he journeyed forth to spread the word of God. But we're speaking of it as we leave here in a prayer for one another. He continued by saying that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And here again, in asking for the prayers of one another, that we might be delivered from those who would be of harm to us in whatever way, be it spiritually, be it in a physical way, whatever. Part of a prayer. But the Lord is faithful. So whether we pray for one another or whether we don't, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He's going to do it regardless, as long as you're strong in Him and rejoice in Him. But brethren, finally, pray for us. Next instruction is found 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, 8th verse. 2 Peter 3:8. Excuse me, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind. Now he states this without the thought that that means all of you have to agree on everything. That's not what it's all about at all. As you leave here, finally, be ye of one mind. That is the mind of Christ. The seeking to follow Christ. the seeking to do His will. We can't help but recall Philippians 3:10 in that respect. And this, to me, is a prayer. And it's a matter of being of one mind, the mind of Christ. To know Him and the power of His resurrection. To be made conformable unto His death and the fellowship of His suffering. That's the mind of Christ. To do as He did. And that is that which, as we leave today, we would like to leave before you. To continue in the realization, in the prayer, in the thought, in the efforts of knowing the power of His resurrection. And just following after the Master, we're slowly but surely knowing what that power is, because it's that power that is resurrecting us slowly but surely. It began when we gave our little all to the Heavenly Father. And from that time on, the power of His resurrection began in us. Continuing. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Now, in stating this, if we are of one mind, this we will not do. But going back to verse 8, the reason we will not do so is because having compassion one on another, or one of another. We think of compassion, we think of mercy insofar as understanding one another's problems, their idiosyncrasies, the things where they're weak, and therefore the kind of a love that understands and puts into practice what is necessary to help one another in bringing them up and holding up the hands. So, therefore, he says, love is brethren. And though we depart from here, yet we expect to see one another. And therefore can prove our love. Not only to state as one love one another, but love as brethren. Be pitiful, understanding, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, or giving back what you would call as good as you get. The kind of a thing that is a reaction. You just react. Somebody's harsh and you react. And even sometimes a brother, and they say or do, they speak in a way that is harsh. Maybe we misunderstand and immediately we react in like kind. And this he's telling us here, not so. And this is something good to guard against as we leave. It's the only way we can truly prove our love. When I went to school, in high school, there was this one classmate who, he just loved to come out and hit you right here like this. I mean, he just loved to do it. And he'd hit me, and I'd hit him back. I mean, just reacted, I'd hit him back. So he'd hit me again, only hit me harder this time. What's the use? I just quit. Well, what the apostle is telling us here, that you don't render evil for evil. Well, that's what I'm doing. I mean, I was seeking justice. The man hit me, so I hit him back. But when he hit me the second time, then forget it. Because this just gets worse instead of better. And what we have is one evil plus one evil makes two evils, and you add another to it. So I was wise enough by the Lord's grace to know when to quit. Well, here we are. We go forth, and we will encounter such things as that which somebody is going to try us. And we want to see that we do not render evil for evil. Our final scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 11th verse. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Again, be of one mind. Live in peace, as far as it lies within you. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Be perfect, as perfect as lies within you. Perfect in intention. This shall be our effort as we leave. Be of good comfort. A comfort that is settled in truth. And the doing of it is the best we can. To be of one mind. The mind of Christ, the mind of God. To live in peace is best we can. These are the things we seek to do as we go forth. We look back and we find as we leave here finally, my brethren, rejoice. Be strong. Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Pray for us. Be of one mind. Finally, my brethren, farewell. It has been good to be here.
Thank you, Brother Edgar, for fitting lessons of bringing to a close the convention and the final words, as it were. Finally, brethren, the reminders to us that Brother Edgar has brought to our attention to rejoice, to be strong, to think on things true, honest, pure, to be of one mind, to be perfect, to live in peace, and to pray for one another.
Our dearly beloved and precious Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. We bow before Thee, rejoicing, giving thanks that we've been able to attend convention, that we've heard Thy word spoken, that we've been able to speak one with another of these things which mean so much unto us. We thank Thee, Father, for these 3 days. We thank Thee for one another, for the hearts bowed before Thee. We thank Thee for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to know more of what Thou would have of us and what Thou intended to do of all the things whereby that have to do with Thy divine plan. And now we ask of Thee that Thou would go with us to our homes. Be and abide with us there. Help us in our efforts to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. Be with the Israel of God everywhere. We pray that we might continue in our efforts to follow after to know our Lord Jesus and the power of His resurrection, and that we might draw closer together in our efforts to do those things that please Thee. We thank Thee again, again, and again for all these things Thou hast bestowed upon us, giving our thanks in our beloved and blessed Lord Jesus' name and in His merit. Amen.